Welcome to the Drunk Who Podcast. I'm John.
I'm Steve.
And Steve, this is a podcast where what goes down every week?
This is
every bi-week. Fortnightly.
Okay. This is the podcast where we drink, we watch Doctor Who, we drink, and we talk about Doctor Who all while drinking.
Is that going to change today?
No, we're going to watch an episode I've never seen before, and then we're going to have a shot and a couple beers and talk about it.
Wait, we're having the shot after we watch the episode?
It's not necessarily in that order.
Oh, I was gonna be a little sad.
It was presented thematically.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
The booze together.
Booze, 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 gonna have booze. And Steve.
Yes.
How can people contact us?
They can email drunkterwho@gmail.com or go to twitter.com/drunkterwho or SR Dolan on Twitter. That's me. We don't really have anything else. I mean, if you want to find me on Facebook, you can, although I'm not on there much. You want to follow my brother-in-law on Instagram. It's Neebs Glass, N-E-E-B-S Glass. He's really talented, and he just posted something that he made with the Doctor Who theme.
That was kind of cool.
Like the music playing while it was during an Instagram story, but he's like crazy talented.
Yeah, and that glass thing he made was like, wow, that was three-dimensionally cool.
Pretty amazing.
Again, what was his?
It's Neebs Glass, N-E-E-B-S Glass.
And so that's our week's plug.
Sure, which sure, we've never done before.
Never done, okay. Yeah. You know,
it's a new year, a new attitude.
New attitude. It's like, hey, welcome 2021. It just feels like that we just celebrated New Year's Eve.
It's, we just got the drunk racist uncle out away from the holiday table and welcome 2021 in.
Thank God.
Yeah. So, hey, what do we do on this nonsense thing right now?
Okay. Well,
I'm like such a smooth segue.
Yes. Well, see, what I normally do at this point is I ask Steve, what is our mission on this here statement?
Yeah, we already did that.
Oh, we did? We drink and talk about and do?
Oh, yeah.
You're right, we did.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't had a shot yet. you know, but today we're going to speak about Doctor Who, talk about Doctor Who, watch some Doctor Who. First, you're going to tell me all about Flatline.
Okay.
That's today's episode that we're going to watch. And there's no Kiefer Sutherland.
I'm sure we made jokes about the movie. So they go to Clara wants to see something amazing. She's tired of the drama. So she's like, you know what? I want to see a fucking dinosaur. I love Jurassic Park as a wee one. And I want to see a dinosaur. So the doctor takes her back. To, I don't know anything about dinosaurs, but to the giant scaly period of history. And
Cretaceous, let's say.
Crustacean period.
The Christopher Eccleston period.
Sure. So they see dinosaurs, but unfortunately, I don't know, whatever. It's the night that the meteor is going to strike and end the world, and he can see this, but there's contrivances in the dinosaurs world. There's contrivances and they're stuck in where they are, probably, I don't know, they're in a tar pit and it's slowly sinking, and the flat line is the where they can see through the window and they can see the edge of the tar pit, and it's coming, and all of a sudden the doctor, I don't know, at the last second uses the sonic screwdriver and gets them out of there. It's a dumb episode.
Right. You know, we're going to see all that happen because, you know, Steve, you're right. You're spot on.
Okay. You don't have to be mean about it.
I'm not being mean, Steve. I'm just being realistic. I mean, you're going to, when you see this episode, you're just going to be so shocked at how so much shocked. It comes true.
so shocked over here. So John's going to be mean to me and make fun of me, and that's fine. I can deal with it. So the next is our shot.
Shot, shot, shot. So, Steve, make with the toast. Our drunk dude toast of the episode.
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph and all of his carpenter friends.
Your shot was clear. What'd you drink?
Vodka.
Ew.
I know. But it was open.
Yeah, it's true. All the Maker's Mark is gone?
No, I don't want to drink all of it.
Well, I'd say you had to drink the whole bottle.
I thought I'd mix things up. Drink something, some clear liquid.
All right. So Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, what?
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and all of his carpenter friends. It was said by, was it Aisling B., who is an Irish comedian, and she was a guest on the show Travel Man, which is hosted by Richard Ayoade, the Moss from the IT Crowd, where he'll spend like a weekend in Brussels or a weekend in Hong Kong, like, and then that's the show. And it's really, really entertaining, and it just left Hulu literally today. So we can't watch it anymore. Hopefully it'll come up somewhere else. But Heidi and I really enjoyed it. And she was a delightful Irish comedian, and I forget where they went.
May I bring up a point of honor? No, a point of something?
Odor.
Yeah, a point of odor. Let me raise my arm.
What?
Don't you usually like give me some sort of shot to like, I mean, some sort of chance to understand where it actually came from?
Oh, I do.
Like maybe well, this just feels like, I'm like, oh, I feel like kind of cheated.
Would you have guessed? What would you have guessed?
That it was a Richard Ayoade movie or TV show that I,
Ayoade.
By an Irish comedian I've never heard of before.
I hadn't either, but she was delightful. She was really enjoyable on the show.
You're just kind of like, wow, a funny woman.
Yeah, that's it. They had the toast actually, or that Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, and all of his carpenter friends. She said that after she did a shot of a local booze, so I thought it was very appropriate. I just don't remember where the fuck it was.
Oh, I thought you were saying she did like a shot of Lucky Charms or something. If it was something Irish, I assume it was Lucky Charms, or it was let's just say four-leaf clover squeezins.
She was in Budapest for the show. They were in Budapest.
Budapest. Steve, if you're Irish. Best. Yes, thank you. Budapest. Well, let's see if all that goes down. We're about to watch an episode of Doctor Who.
I don't even remember what bullshit half-assed plot I came up with.
Either time?
This time. Or, yeah. Well, no, last time. I think I remember this time, but it was stupid, and I'm sorry. I'll do better next time. And if Denise was here, she would say, no, you won't, and then we would laugh, and then we'd be done.
I was going to say, it's like, Steve, you always promise that, and it never comes true anyway. Don't give me sad puppy dog face. The one out of 25 times where you actually get something that is correct, I usually give you props for it afterwards.
I think I got some stuff correct on a recent one, but we didn't acknowledge it, but I don't really care.
Did you really?
I think so.
I think you might have said Peter Capaldi does some things as the doctor and Clara does something as the companion.
She is kind of disapproving, but still goes along.
And Danny Pink shows up for a moment.
All right, let's be done. Let's go watch this shit.
We're going to watch an episode of Doctor Who, and we expect that you will too.
No, no.
Listen to Steve's got a thing. No. He's making very dismissive marks at me. Yeah, we're going to watch an episode.
Let's be done.
What?
Let's be done.
Welcome back to the Drunk to Who podcast.
Welcome back.
And
I had like a Bob Ross vibe going there. Like, welcome back.
Welcome back. Let's paint some happy little clouds on that computer screen.
Let's paint some disgruntled little TARDISes.
Oh, those little TARDISes. You want one of those, don't you?
The little TARDISes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, those were great. I love where the doctor's like with his hand out there and he's like kind of scooting along. It was like a little, one of those little like house crab things.
Well, she referred to Cousin It from the Addams Family.
I missed that.
No, she actually name checked Cousin It. Oh, so, yeah.
Fucking awesome. okay. Well, I think we're alluding to it. Steve, what happened on this episode?
A lot, both a lot and very little happened on this episode, John. We were introduced to a new Doctor Who villain. I'm going to call it a villain, even though it's morally ambiguous towards the end. We were introduced to a new Doctor Who villain. I assume it's new.
Well, I think near the end, it was less ambiguous.
Yeah,
prior that's to true. That, it was ambiguous. By the end, the doctor's like, "You do not come back here. I am 300. And he banished them.
And then he kicked him in the chest, the 2D chest, and banished him.
Yeah, like they went over the yeah. Exactly.
No, it was a fun episode. I do like it when they kind of mix up the roles. And this time, Clara got to play the doctor because the doctor is like, what, 6'17". Peter Capaldi's a tall man.
Is he really? I'm not even sure.
I don't know. I assume he was like your height. He's like 6'3". But next to Clara, that seems like a giant because she seems like a tiny lady. I don't know.
Probably gives enough to eat when she was younger. You know, in England, yeah. I'm sure they were on some sort of, you know, rations because it was post-World War II.
Oh, yeah. That lasted all the way through into the 90s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that poor thing.
Yeah.
No sugar for you, dear.
Yeah. So we start out with a guy who reminded me of Paul Bartel, who no one will remember. But he was an actor who was in a bunch of like...
Eddie Raoul.
Yes, he was in... He directed and starred in...
That famous Raoul. Cannibalistic comedy from the early 80s,
Eating Raoul. The cannibalism wasn't as big a part of it as I wanted it to be. I did watch it recently.
I'm sorry that it was like not as cannibalistic for you as you expected.
No, it just is what wasn't as big a part of the plot as, you know, I was hoping.
Was it like when you watch a Quentin Tarantino movie, there's not enough women's feet in there for you?
No, I don't pay attention. I'm there for the racism, John. The casual racism, not the women's feet. Oh,
it's not very casual, Steve. It's fairly overt.
That's true. Anyway, so Paul Bartel, he was in. He was also in Death Race 2000, and he and Mary Warrenoff had their characters from Eating Raoul made little cameo appearances at the beginning of Chopping Mall, along with
Angus, still alive?
Along with Angus Scrimm, who was the tall man in Phantasm. She is still alive, and she's still working. She was in a Rob Zombie horror movie that came out like within the last that makes sense. Years, but she's still working. She's worked with Andy Warhol, Roger Corman, and Rob Zombie. Like it's quite the resume.
The trifecta.
She's quite the resume. Anyway, so Paul Bartel, no one knows him but you and I. We're already off track.
it's like the group that's painting. You know, they're being punished.
Yeah. No. It starts out with this dude who reminded me of Paul Bartel. He was on the phone
from Eating Raoul, talking, right?
Yes. You're Eating Raoul.
Oh, that guy. Oh, my bad.
Mary Warrenoff. He's on the phone. He's talking to the cops. He's like, "Oh my God, they're here. They're all around me. They're surrounded. Oh no. Oh no." And then he like screams, and then you see like the phone dangling from the cord.
Hello, sir. Are you and then still
you
there?
You kind of see him as part of like the paint on the wall, part of the trim.
It's like a thing where like it's a long streak and then they like go on an angle and it's like one of those like when they go down, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like when you see those like chalk sidewalk things where it's like it you look at a certain angle, it looks like someone's gonna fall into a well, but basically it's just chalk.
It's just chalk, it's just sidewalk art. Speaking of sidewalk art, after the credits, and the episode writer and director, both of the names I didn't really recognize. We go to guys like, or no, did we go to the TARDIS or did we go to the graffiti guys?
Not 100%.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. So yeah, we go to the guys.
Like, yeah,
a young dude who's being forced to like cover up his own graffiti with white paint. And there's this nasty looking, he's basically the streets and sanitation version of Filch,
pretty much. You know, I think I think they made a cut to the TARDIS first because Clara's like, you're gonna drop me off right where I need to be, right? Because like, you know, Danny, who really like wants me to like keep traveling,
who's really cool with this, by the
way cool, totally cool. Yeah, I don't know why you would think.
He's so cool with it. I'm going to reassure you like six times.
Yeah, right. Really, really, really cool. Yeah. Not going to shift my eyes around at all. And then like, you know, so then the doctor's like, oh, I've kind of landed you ish where you need to be. Oh, but something's fucked up.
No, well, she's like, wait, ish? Ish isn't acceptable. And he's like, well, it's ishy.
Yeah, turns out they're in Bristol, which
I like the fact that he said ishy instead of iffy because it played on the earlier thing. Like it was
yeah.
It was, well, it was a good, like, moment.
Then they cut to, then I think they cut to, like, you know, them doing the stuff, or, you know, the guys, like, you know, it's like a workday crew, or, you know, yeah. So this guy is, like, you know, paying off, like, a traffic stop, and this guy is, like, you know, like, you know, for being picked up for, like, hookers service. Or something.
It's community
service.
You know, where you have to pick up trash along the highway, or in this case, paint the underpass. You know,
what was that show we used to watch where, like, the people were, like, mutants after, like, a star thing happened?
Is it the Misfits?
Misfits, thank you. Okay. So basically the Misfits were, like, those people, and they got powers. These guys, just, most of them just got, like, eaten.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I think they cut to this after Clara and the Doctor kind of squeeze their way out of the TARDIS, which is, like, two-thirds the size of the normal TARDIS.
Don't you want one of those? I love every time there was a different size. I'm like, I want that. And then they would show another one. I'm like, I want that.
So basically,
I want that.
Basically, you want a Russian nesting doll version of the TARDIS.
Oh, yes. And now I do.
I'm sure there's something out there. And inside the last one is, like, a sonic screwdriver.
I still love, you know, again, like, going back to where the Doctor's got his hand and he's like a hermit crab and he's, like, crawling along on the train tracks. He's like, oh, finally, I'm safe. Oh, thunk. Wait, oh, no. Shite.
Yeah, so the Doctor's really, really excited because there's something new, something he doesn't understand.
Be happy for me this one time, will ya?
Yeah, and so Clara's just like, but I'm 120 miles from home and I'm supposed to go to lunch with Danny and this isn't fun.
And he's like, you know, I'm going to go inside. You go, like, you know, check out and then, she, you know, check around. And then that's when she, like,
well, yeah. She's like, also like, wait, why don't I get to go inside too? And he's like, well, because it's not a good idea when shit like this happens that both of us are in the same place. Kind of.
And she sees some sort of, like, memorial, and then, like, Riggsy comes up to her and
he gives her the psychic paper and the sonic screwdriver. That's important.
Oh, yes. At some point he did.
Well, it's right here when they separate. Or
no, she, like, went, like, you know, she saw the whole thing, and then Riggsy came up and talked to her, and, like, she saw this quote unquote memorial of people's backs. And then, you know, she went and, like, reported to the Doctor, and, like, the TARDIS was, like, I'm like 6 inches tall. And she's like, oh, 6 inches. Huh. Have you met Danny? Danny Pink.
Okay. So. So.
And then he gives her a little earpiece. He's like, you're going to be the Doctor.
That's when you see him say, like, okay, you're going to be in charge of this shit. So here, and you see the hand come out of the TARDIS when it's in her purse with, like, the sonic screwdriver, the psychic paper, and the earpiece. And I think the earpiece, did that also, like, hook into her ocular nerve so he could see? There was, like, a contact lens thing.
Yeah, a contrivance. No, it, like, all, like, went in there.
Yeah, no, that's just, it's, they magic it away. Like,
they magicked it.
Yeah.
So then, like, you know, the Doctor's like, you know, oh, go do this thing and, you know, put me in your purse. She goes, okay. And then she grabs Riggsy and they go to that, like the guy you said, Paul Bartel's apartment.
The Riggsy, the graffiti artist.
Yeah. So they go in there and, like, you know, he's like, this is the last one there's been a whole bunch of people. You saw their backs and that thing.
Including his aunt.
Yeah. He's like, oh, that was a real bummer. My aunt.
And he's like, who are you missing? And she's like, nobody, I guess. Like, but what's going on? Yeah, so then they end up in the apartment, and then
Who are you speaking to?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, she's like, oh, my friend. Here, he's tiny in this thing. And he's like, oh, yeah, I believe you now.
So it does not take her long to show Riggsby the Doctor's hand or face coming out of the TARDIS door. It's entertaining. And
yeah, because Riggsy just thought she was nuts.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, shit, weird. So what, are you an alien? And she's like, oh, no, he is. So it's cool. Yeah.
I'm from, let's just say, I don't know.
Was it Bristol?
No, well, they were in Bristol.
Okay, so let's just say London.
Yeah, London or, you know, but it's like some sort of like prefecture where it's like.
It's not Wales because that's Torchwood.
That's just weird.
Yeah, so I'm going to assume that they're in Bristol, which is 120 miles outside of London.
Steak and kidney pudding-a-thon.
And at one point in time, she calls Danny. No, this is later. She calls Danny.
Okay, well, like, you know, they decide, like, you know, they go to the thing. It's like, hey, maybe somebody's tiny. It's not, but we see some weird kind of, like,
yeah,
desert mural on the wall, which later comes back into being because then they go to a different, it's like, hey, who's the first person who disappeared?
Yeah.
And they get a policewoman there to help her with the psychic paper. Let me inside.
Because she claims she's MI5, which from what I understand is the British equivalent of CIA.
Well, yeah. I think James Bond works for MI5.
It's
he works for MI6.
He works for Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's
MI6. It's one more than MI5.
MI6.5. I don't know.
It's delicious. So yeah, so like this policewoman is helping them. It's like, here's the place. And it's like, oh, hey, wait, I've got a call. Let me take this in a different room.
Yeah. And well, they're walking around the room and Rigsby's like, you know what? All those like brain teasers where they say like, what happened to this room? Someone died or someone disappeared with locked doors from the inside. It's like, well, what if they're really in the room? What if they're really in the walls? And then so Clara pulls like a fucking sledgehammer out of her purse, which
the doctor feeds her through the TARDIS door.
And the policewoman is like, yeah, I'm going to go check on you. And she goes into the other room to take a phone call.
So while the policewoman is like in the other room talking, suddenly, while Rigsy and Claire are like bashing in the wall, this policewoman doesn't notice that the walls are attacking her and they suck her into the floor. She screams. Yeah,
she does scream. And this is another example that I've noticed on Doctor Who of someone who is like earnest and on the doctor's side, but is easily dispatched. Like, she's talking about how, like, oh, no, this woman is from MI5 and she's here. Well, I don't know. Maybe because she doesn't think we're doing enough. I don't think we're doing enough. Like, you know, like, she's trying to do her job well. And, of course, she dies.
Yeah, she dies real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She gets sucked into the floor and it's our first time seeing. Because in the opening one, the Paul Bartel, I don't know if you know who he is.
Wait, was he in that movie with that lady?
Did we talk about who he was?
Werewolf?
So anyway, so yeah, like he just disappeared and the phone is dangling out. Then we see her get sucked into the floor and then all of a sudden like her central nervous system is like art on the wall.
Right, because like Rigsy and Clara show up in there and it's like, where'd she go? It's like, oh, maybe like in the walls. And it's like, wait. And the doctor's like, huh, wait, that wasn't there, I don't think.
The doctor gets really excited. He says like, oh my God, there's like, you know, this two-dimensional dimension. And we've always theorized about this, but this is proof that it exists. And here it is. It's just like experimenting. It's just learning. And this is how it's learning. And it doesn't know it's killing because it's not malicious, but it's just learning.
At a certain point during the episode, the doctor like peeks out of the tiny little TARDIS doors and like turns back to the TARDIS, and he does this like weird little happy dance, and which has become a GIF.
I didn't notice that.
Like, yeah, I don't remember exactly, but because I know the GIF so well.
Yeah,
where it's like he just like kind of like turns away and he just does this weird little happy dance, like dance. Oh, we're like a big little hat, and it's like it's a total GIF. And like anyone who like, you know, knows the show, and it was just kind of like, oh my God. So it might not have been at that point, like, but you were just like saying where the doctor's like, I've kind of sort of figured
out. Where the doctor gets excited. Yeah.
Yeah. So the doctor had a big old TARDIS on, if you know what I'm saying. So, but then like, you know, so Rigsy and Clara are in there and they notice like stuff starts coming at them. And the only thing that will save them is jumping into a giant plastic cup that's hanging from the ceiling. It felt very 60s.
No, I know, but
very Austin Powers.
It's a weird chair that's dangling from the ceiling, and it's a
because it's like the floor wanted to eat them, the walls wanted to eat them.
If you ever wanted to figure out what it was like to sit inside a giant ice cream scoop, you need one of these chairs.
And that's when Danny called Clara.
Of course.
When she's like, oh, I'm trying to save it, but you hear her going, and he's like, just kind of like,
What? What's going on? And I kind of appreciated the fact that he didn't immediately go to, who are you fucking? because he knows he's secure enough, and he's not that insecure, like, dude who's just like, what, you're making weird grunting noises, you clearly are with a guy, because he knows her and he mm-hmm. trusts her, and so yeah. But he also knows, he also worries about her, so he's all of a sudden like, holy shit, you're in trouble. And they swing this thing out, and she uses the sonic screwdriver to like break the window, and they end up on the like outside on the like, I don't know, it's on the lawn essentially, right, or on the patio.
Yeah, sure,
the patio. And so then she says, oh, I'll call you back, to Danny. And it's basically very dismissive of him. But he's like, oh no, I'm in Doctor Who. It's a steady acting gig, so I'm going to keep coming back. So it's cool. And then, I'm sorry, I Googled Doctor Dancing GIF, and a lot of results came up, including Dancing Cybermen.
Dancing with a Peter lot Capaldi, of, though.
Yeah, I know, but a lot of dancing Matt Smith. And then if I scroll down, there's Peter Capaldi doing the weird walk.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah. There's even...
Because if you look in the background, you probably can see like the tiny little TARDIS door.
I do see the tiny TARDIS door. So yes, I do. I did see it.
So like Riggsy and Clara escape. And it's like, wait, we got to go back to... So for whatever reason, they go back to like, you know, this art... You know, they go back to the guys. Like, we got to save them because going on.
I think they were just like running past, and then they noticed that these guys, the community or other community service guys, were like painting over the, what they said was like a memorial mural, but right. It actually, we know now, is just people who've been sucked into the wall. And right. I'm going to call him Filch, because I don't know what
part of a science experiment, yeah. Apparently.
I'm going to call him Filch, because I don't know what his name is, but he's...
His name is Preston. No, his name is Fenton.
Fenton, Filch, Fenton. Whatever.
Yeah, okay.
He's annoyed at you said Riggsy.
Yeah, Riggsy.
Rigsby. So okay.
What else?
Yeah. So he's annoyed at Riggsy for being gone at lunch too long, and he's like, holy shit, you have no idea what's going on. Literally.
You're on report. Clara, I put you on report.
Clara says, like, oh, I'm from health and safety, and this tunnel is unsafe. So, and she flashes the psychic paper, and Filch says, well, that's blank. And the doctor is like, holy shit, only someone with absolutely zero imagination would not see this.
Loved that.
Yeah. I did enjoy the fact that it did not work on everyone. Like,
yeah,
it's such a trope. It's such a thing in Doctor Who that the psychic paper, the sonic screwdriver, it's kind of like a get out of jail free card. A
little bit.
And I do enjoy when it doesn't work.
Yeah. Cause you know? You know, depending on how they use it, either it can like, they'll show it and be like, the people are like, you know, whatever they are expecting, or they can give like a suggestion when she's kind of like, I'm from like train inspections and like, so's the guy. It's like, oh my God, you're a train inspector.
Yeah. You know? When she plants the idea, or when she's mm-hmm. just like, oh, you guys are in trouble, and flashes it. And the person says, oh my God, you're MI5.
Right. They go to like the little underpass tunnel with like the people's backs painted on there, and like suddenly the doctor who's in Clara's ear is like, something ain't quite right here.
Yeah,
going to paint over, and Clara's like, we got to get out of here. But then one of the guys gets sucked in there.
It was basically the assistant Filch.
I know he didn't seem like a douchebag, but it was just like
He was just like the assistant manager, you know. Okay. Like he was just
And it's like when they saw him get like sucked in, then suddenly it's like, we got to get away. Oh, it was like shit. It was Riggsy, the Filch guy, Clara, and like East Indian guy and bald guy.
Yeah,
and so 20, like then they
22 and bald guy.
Yeah, so they get away and they like go hide in like a train, not depot, but like, you know, where they fix trains or something.
Yeah, some
limited
some
getting aways.
Shit. Some right.
So
shit.
And so the doctor's like, I need to try to communicate with them. So, you know, let's do this. And so the doctor, like, you know, it's like, I'm gonna give them pie. You know, not that kind of pie, because ha ha ha.
Oh no, the circular pie, which I also realize is kind of the delicious pie.
You know, everybody loves pie.
Oh, who doesn't?
So now, like, you know, Clara's like, you know, well we're going to try and talk to them. And Claire and the doctor, like, you know, putting a thing. And it's like, oh, wait, they're broadcasting back. They're broadcasting numbers. What do the numbers mean? Everyone's got like a number on their collar. And like the guy Ridley. Of like East Indian descent, he's like, hey, that's my number. And then like he gets sucked away.
Yeah.
He's made 2D.
Yeah. So basically like Clara is like, well, we don't know what they're saying. We don't know if they're saying like we acknowledge or we just learned this phrase in English. And the only phrase I know in English is I'm going to murder you. And even though I'm asking like where I can buy ice cream. But it's just like, I don't know the language. So that's the only phrase I know. And Clara leaves that door open. And then they realize like, no, these are malicious little shits who now all of a sudden have learned to go 3D. And so they kind of crawl out of the floor or the ground.
Well, they like go, you know, once they realize that these like these bad guys are in there, they run out the one exit they can go. And
they only know that exit because Riggsy, that's like he's explored these tunnels for graffiti reasons.
Yeah.
And Filch is Filch is still an asshole about it.
Y'all still awful. You know, you people all deserve to die anyway.
He is a shit.
He is totally shite. So yeah, they go away. Like the one guy gets stuck. Now it's down to like four of them. So they go and like, you know, and it's like, you know, Clara and the doctor's like, oh, they're draining energy from me. That's why my TARDIS is shrinking. And like the TARDIS is like trying to defend itself, but it's, it doesn't know.
Filch tries to grab the TARDIS from her and ends up dropping it down a tunnel.
Total dick move.
It's like, why did you try to grab this one thing? Why not grab the fucking sonic screwdriver, the thing she's been waving around and buzzing, instead of the thing in her purse? Like, why would you grab that? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, then they've got like another service tunnel where there's like no train tracks or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh my gosh, now there's another number. And then one of the guys, so it's like, you know, in the background, you see like a hand dropping down.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's like nothing to see here. And all of a sudden the one guy gets grabbed. And
this is the bald guy.
Yeah. So now we're down to Filch.
And you're Riggsy, right. This is when we find out they've gone 3D.
Yeah.
And the doctor is now the TARDIS is tiny and on train tracks, and the subway car is like coming barreling at him, and he's like, oh god, Clara, you've been the best, but I'm gonna die now.
Well, that's when he sand crabs it over, and like,
yeah, and
he
has like, to go. She's like, no, fucker, you be like cousin it, like walk your hands along it. And he's like, oh yeah,
that's when he goes into siege mode, because he thought it was safe but then didn't, and the train's coming anyway. So he turns it basically into like, you know, where the TARDIS is basically in siege mode, where, you know, there's no power, there's no life support, he's gonna die unless the TARDIS gets power.
And siege mode,
and he can't communicate with Clara either.
No. And siege mode looks like the cube from Hellraiser a little bit.
Okay.
Cause so that's all to me it does. Cause it's got some weird lines on it and it's a cube shaped. But so Clara, they run around, they discover this, and then Clara's like, oh shit, what do I have to do? I'm the doctor. I'm really the doctor now. Cause she introduced herself as Dr. Oswald earlier to Riggsy.
Yeah.
But she's like, no, I'm the doctor now, so what do I have to do? Oh, the doctor would try to like communicate with them or do this with them. And then she realizes the TARDIS needs more power, and she basically tells Riggsy to do some graffiti on the back of a giant poster.
Right, but first, before when they actually go down, and you know, because after, you know, the Filch asshole drops the TARDIS down a tunnel, down way far down,
essentially down a well.
They go down there, and in the meantime, when the doctor went into siege mode, then Clara, you know, finds it, and they're about to get killed by like another train. So then she's like, oh no, we need to stop it somehow. So she uses sonic to turn the lights red.
Yep.
The train stops, the train conductor comes out, and you know, it was like just like a service train.
Yeah,
he was the only one on there. He's like, oh, what's going on? She goes, I'm from train inspections. And you can't go down there because something's wrong. All these 3D creatures are coming at us, which was a very creepy effect. I thought
it was
very, it was like very kind of zombie-ish.
And I appreciated the fact that they used the essentially the design of the people who have already disappeared.
Oh,
plus,
yeah.
Plus some randos. We saw not Paul Bartel, and we saw the police
top lady.
Yeah.
And the other guys who were like, were part of the chain gang.
Yeah. So chain gang. They were cleaning up graffiti. And so then Clara says, oh, we need to ram that stuff down there. That stuff, it's turning 3D. We need to ram it. And the guys, the train driver engineer is like, dude, I've always wanted to ram something.
In the meantime, though, the train starts going. Because, again, like, everyone's being distracted by the foreground. Something's happened in the background. And, like, Riggsy goes on there. And Riggs is like, I'm going to be the hero. And Clara just jumps on the train that's moving. And she's like, what are you going to do? He's like, I'm going to kill myself to save everyone. She goes, yeah, could have done that with this, like, little hair little thing. And he's like,
hairband.
It's like, ah, shit.
Yeah. And she, yeah, she basically.
And the hairband that wasn't, like, some striper or something.
Yeah. She. Yeah, no, not a hair metal band. It was a great little moment where she's like, oh yeah, really? You want to die? Cause what I was going to do is I was just going to tie the accelerator back and, you know, with my hair tie. And I love this hair tie, this hair band. So, you know, whenever I use that hair band, I will think of you killing yourself unnecessarily. And he's like, God damn it. I get it. Like, let's just
jump the fuck off this train. So they do. And the train gets immediately like, 2D-ified.
Yeah, it, like, no, it didn't really matter that they rammed this,
yeah,
whatever it was, with the train.
Yeah. So then, you know, now they have another fourth. They have Clara, Riggsy, Filch, and train conductor. And they go in like a little side office where just kind of like, oh no, we need to do something. Yeah. And like, Clara doesn't have contact with the doctor because now the TARDIS is in siege mode.
She has the cube TARDIS. The Hellraiser TARDIS.
She found it, and she's like, got it with her.
And she knows from talking to the doctor earlier that it needs more power.
Right.
Because these 2D things have been draining the TARDIS's power, and that's how they've been becoming 3D and more aggressive and more deadly.
And these creatures can use their powers to drain the 3D out of something and make it 2D.
Yeah,
they saw that actually happen, you know. So, you know,
and she had a weird device the doctor made and handed to her through the tiny TARDIS door that made things from 2D to 3D, like door knobs.
The 2D-ness?
Yeah, the 2D-ness.
Yeah, wait, no, 2D-ness. Don't you get it? Don't you get it, Steve?
I thought it's the 2D-ness. I thought he just called it the 2D-ness, and she wanted to call it the 2D-ness.
Yeah, whatever it was. It was kind of like, you know. Yeah, so she tried to like re-3D something. It wasn't working. But like she was. So we know that these creatures can then use their energy to turn something that they turned 2D back into 3D.
Yeah.
So it's like,
that's
hey,
when she idea. Asks, yeah, that's when she asks Riggsy to, on the back of a poster of like, travel to Bristol on this train.
Lovely Bristol.
She says, I want to commission you. And so he like starts shaking some spray paint and he draws a door and all the 3D creatures come and zap the door with the energy. But she's got the TARDIS on the other side of the door. So she's basically charging the TARDIS.
And Filch is like, oh, that's never going to work. You've doomed us, you evil whore.
This dude is a dick.
Yeah. So then, like, yeah. So now the TARDIS is, like, recharged. And the doctor comes out and, like, in the fully, like, you know, regular TARDIS again.
Yeah.
Like, has, like, the shields up. And he's like, I tried to give you every chance I could. I'm just going to send you back. You might survive. You might not. Zappy, 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 zappy.
Yeah, he basically zaps them back to wherever they came from. And he calls them, the Boneless.
Mm.
So I assume it's a new Doctor Who villain called the Boneless.
Or delicious thing you can get at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Either with dry rub or with a sauce.
Yeah,
yes. Would you like the Boneless? These aren't aliens.
No, but they are essentially chicken tenders.
And you can get them 2-for-1 on Thursday.
Take out and to go now during COVID.
That's their penance. Earthlings are going to eat you. Doubly.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So then they make them go away, and the doctor, like, brings them back all up top where, like, you know, conductor dude's like, thank you so much, miss. I'm going to go and, like, hug me missus.
Well, he's like, oh, I got to go hug my wife. But holy shit, thank you for letting me ride in the TARDIS. Like, this was amazing.
Amazing.
And then Filch was just like, yeah, I still think you're all a bunch of bastards.
Oh, no, Filch was worse than that. Filch was like, well, people who deserve to die deserve to die. Oh, well. And the doctor's like, no one deserves to die. He's like, yeah, no, they were, like, you know, awful people who lived in, like, you know, tenement housing. Yeah, they deserve to die.
They did graffiti. They deserve to die. Oh,
my God. That guy was awful.
And the actor did a really good job.
Yeah. Riggsy is, like, given, like, you know, in these days of COVID, seeing all this physical contact was wigging me out a little bit.
Oh, it's so weird.
It's so weird. Yeah. But he's like, oh, yeah, it was, like, good. Now I'm going to go. And I'm going to go and buy. And yeah, the doctor's like, ah, oh, yeah, you're.
Didn't the doctor compliment his art?
He did, you know, because the doctor at one point is like, oh, like the mushy headed kid. And it's like, oh, no, yeah, you've got a future. And it's like, you're going to, like, be really good. And, you know, I'm begrudgingly complimenting you.
Yeah.
And then the doctor calls out Clara, is like, yeah, you've been lying real good. Because you were me for an episode and you lied. Cause there was, like, you know, like, there was, like, points during the episode where Clara's like, the doctor's like, say something. She goes, you mean lie like you do? He's like, yeah, now you know how I am.
Yeah. Be me. You gotta be me. And then later on, she's like, yeah, you lied. And she's like, well, I had to. And he says, no, you lied to me. You were good. You lied to me really well about whether or not Danny knew you were selling the TARDIS. Like, you were being shitty.
Well, even, like, when, you know, and she's like, well, I have to, like, try and convince them to try and fight, even though they're not going to all live. And he's like, yeah, welcome to my world.
Yeah. So
stop judging me, bitch.
Yeah. Although Peter Capaldi, his doctor is still kind of a dick, but this kind of, like, explained to Clara about the tough choices that the doctor has to make on an everyday basis.
Yeah. So then, you know, we go into, you know, everyone's like, wah, wah, you know, hey, you, hey, you.
Hey, bye. We're just going to wander home and, I guess, lie about what happened to the people we were in charge of.
Yeah. Hey, guy who lost the whole train.
Yeah.
So I explained that one to your boss.
Yeah. Wah, wah. Hey, Filch, try to explain what happened to, like, the 8 people that you were in charge of.
Wah, wah.
Yeah.
You know what? They were just awful people who were, like, poor and stuff.
They deserve to die. Wait, that's what you're just saying as a supervisor? They deserve to die? Like, that's the only reason? Yes, they deserve to die.
Magic Creed number 42 says they all deserve to die.
Yeah, so, that dude was a piece of shit.
Yeah. What'd you think of the episode in general?
The actor did a really good job of being a piece of shit, by the way.
He was a piece of shit. We'll talk about him later.
Okay. No, I enjoyed this. I do enjoy a new villain, and a new villain who's not, like, just, oh, look, a new alien. I kind of enjoyed, I think, the moral ambiguity of, like, the Kill the Moon. I had to stop myself from saying "Let's kill the moon," from "Kill the Moon."
Let's kill the Hitler moon.
Where it's just, like, creatures who are trying to hatch an egg and they have no control. It's not, like, a moral choice. They are just trying to save their own, and they don't really register anything as being, like, whether or not it should or should not die. It's just, like, we need to have the egg survive. But these are just, like, these ended up being, like, oh, I got the impression that these were creatures that were 2D and they were toying, they were playing, they were figuring things out. But once they did, these 2D creatures, the boneless, they were basically like, oh shit, this is power. I'm going to fucking use this and I'm going to destroy the native population.
Well, I don't even know if we even, like, got to that, where it's like, you know, the doctor's like, yeah,
that's the impression I got.
Well, the impression I got, like, where the doctor's like, yeah, they've been studying us, trying to understand, because they come from, like, a 2D realm.
Yeah.
This is 3D. Now they get it. Now they're going to impose their ways on us. Because I think he, like, it wasn't like, oh, we could, like, do shit. It was kind of like, yeah, now we can do shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now we're going to come out there and be who we want to be.
Yeah.
And we're going to destroy them and take them over, sort of thing.
See, I saw it as maybe the power they were realizing they had kind of corrupted them.
They were corrupted by the power, whereas I just think the power allowed them to corrupt what was going on.
And just really quick, from what you just reminded me, from what you said, the doctor kept referring to him and the humans as we. Like, he kept referring to human beings as we. So, like, the doctor is, I assume, seeing himself as more and more human, or at least relating to them. He's obviously always going to be a Time Lord, but he hasn't been, like, a Time Lord, like a Gallifreyan, right, for a very long time. So it just drove that point home. And I noticed this during the episode that he was referring to, oh, they're studying us. It's like, well, are they studying the doctor, or are they studying people? And the doctor is lumping himself in with people, with humans.
Right, right.
Yeah, so I did notice that. So I don't know if that was a conscious thing or just like that's how they wrote it. But yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I saw this episode. I remembered enjoying it immensely the first time I saw it. I enjoyed it this rewatch, and it was just kind of like, wow, it just like really hammered home the whole thing where, you know, it's like where the doctor is an alien and he's kind of corrupting Clara.
Yeah.
And then a little Missy action at the end.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to talk about Missy.
And, you know, was, you know, she didn't actually talk to a dead person, but she was just kind of like, you know, where, you know, because it's like, you know, she, I think it was, well,
she had, like, Riggs, she had an like, iPad. Well, she had an iPad with Clara on it.
Well, because I think like Riggs is like, well, how'd you like meet the doctor? And she goes, you know, so then, and Missy's
well,
like,
well, she says wrong place, wrong time, or right place, right time, depends on your perspective.
And Missy's like, I'm glad I got her into this from the start.
Yeah. She was, but like, yeah, there was definitely like an evil laugh with Missy, the I assume
big
the
bad.
the devil of the afterlife.
But like, you know, I just thought this episode was so well acted, well presented, you know, for it being a Dr. Light episode. It was like there was a lot of Capaldi going on, but like, you know, he wasn't, you know, so maybe all his shit took like a day to film in the studio where she got to do all the heavy lifting pretty much.
And I do like it when they play with their roles where all of a sudden the companion,
Dr. Clara,
and not through like some contrivance of like, again, the Kill the Moon episode where the doctor just is like, you know what, fuck off, I'm out of here, and you figure it out. This was the doctor could not actually be there.
Right.
And so she had to figure it out. Like, I enjoyed that.
Yeah. No, I agree. No, it was to me, this was like an awesome episode.
Yeah, it was
like
good.
Great episode where it just kind of like, it just showed, it showed off the dynamic.
Yeah.
And like, just so how like great, like, you know, Jenna Coleman is, and like Peter Capaldi is, like, you know, as actors, you know, just like brought out and like made you give a shit. It's like, you know, you felt like, I mean, at the end where she was kind of like betraying Danny, where like Danny's calling back, she's like, put him, he's like, you know, I'm not talking to you.
She sent him straight to voicemail.
Yeah, and pretty much.
And then she basically said to the doctor, he's like, oh no, that was a wrong number. Come on, keep talking to me. Like,
yeah. But the doctor knew. He's just like, yeah. I know what's going on. And there
but
will
the
be
doctor
some...
gets between the companion and the companion's personal life all the time. Not intending to, but he essentially elevates them to this place of like, I'm taking you on adventures in space and time. And so you do have to sacrifice some of your personal life. And the companion always tries to make it so that both can coexist. But one always suffers. They always have to end up making a choice between like the personal life or the companion life. And sometimes that's like fucking Rose chooses essentially both by being with like the doctor's clone in some alternate dimension that we can never contact again. Or, you know, Donna has to sever her attachment and even her knowledge of the doctor's existence in order to survive. And then Amy and Rory, obviously, they didn't have to make the choice, but they could have, and it was set up for them to make that choice a few episodes before their end, but they didn't. They chose to stay with the doctor, and it ended up costing them.
Right. And like Claire's trying to have the best of all worlds,
and
where she's like trying to have like a personal life, and she's like, oh yeah, it's okay. But then, you know, because she's not actually staying on the TARDIS. She's going off on little adventures with the doctor.
Yeah,
and then getting set back like it never even happened.
She won't even leave a toothbrush on the TARDIS, and because she's paranoid about Danny finding out. I mean, we're told early on by her that it's because Danny doesn't want her to leave anything on there to make it as temporary as possible.
Right.
But we find out that it's actually her that is trying to make it as she's trying to hide it as much as possible. She doesn't ever want to be like Danny sleeping at her place, and she doesn't want to be without a toothbrush and have him ask why and have to lie to him.
Right.
So she makes sure that everything that she leaves nothing on the TARDIS.
Nothing.
And it's an interesting dynamic they're setting up for, I assume, something is going to come to a head the end of the season, or who knows, maybe the next episode will all of a sudden find Danny on the TARDIS flying around with him. Who knows?
Who knows? Now
I don't think so, but who knows?
Who knows? Now, Claire also rewrote one of the doctor's rules, because usually rule number one is the doctor lies.
Oh, yeah.
At a certain point, she says, now, Doc, the rule number one is use your enemy's powers against them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because remember, like, you know, the doctor lies, basically, is like, you know, she started lying and saying, it's like, oh, we're going to get out of this. We just need to do this sort of thing. All seven of you. It's like, oh, wait, there's three of you left? Ooh, my bad. But so, she altered the rules to fit what she needed to get done.
Yeah, to fit the narrative.
Yeah.
Did she know that was the doctor's? Because I have a feeling that he told that to Amy.
Oh, he's told that to, you know, everyone knows the doctor lies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know the doctor actually said rule number one, the doctor lies, but I thought he said that to Amy.
Yeah, no.
So, whatever.
Now, did you get like the parallel of Riggsy?
To what?
Banksy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're kind of like implying, you know, it's like, I think, I don't know if the doctor said in this one, but like, spoilers, we'll see Riggsy another time.
Oh, cool. I liked Riggsy.
Yeah. Right. That was like the thing where, you know, we liked Riggsy. So I don't know if he like pointedly, but like there will be a comparison Riggsy to Banksy. So, and also too, it's like, it's funny. Like when I was like doing a little research, Banksy has done stuff in Bristol.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like, oh, I don't know if it's like, you know, he's well, you know, again, like it's an island, so it's the size of, I don't know, Manhattan. So
it is. You know,
well, yeah, remember like the 15 people who live in England either have to be in a Harry Potter movie or on Doctor Who.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were implying that Bristol itself was an island.
No, entire island of the England.
Okay. No, I, yeah. Okay. Never mind. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The United Isles of Kingdom.
Yes.
The okay. United sure. Kingdom Isles.
Sure. What you just said.
So yeah, he's Riggsy and, or maybe Banksy. Oh.
I thought for some reason when you said it's an island, I thought of Bristol as being a tiny island off the coast of England. I don't know.
Now, what did you say the siege mode looked like?
I said it looked like the cube from Hellraiser.
Could it look like the Pandorica?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, so yeah.
Yeah, the thing from the thing that Roman Centurion Rory guarded. Is that it?
Yeah, because I think they were using Time Lord technology also. That was the thing, because remember, like, they put, you know, because it was supposed to be the Doctor in stasis, then it ended up being Amy in stasis.
But that was the episode, right?
Okay. Pandorica opens. It was a two-part finale where where Rory was the centurion who, you know, was dead, but then he wasn't, and
the one who lived or wouldn't die, and
that
was the
much.
Episode the two-parter where the Doctor rebooted the universe essentially.
That was fun.
I've seen Hellraiser. I watched all like 9 Hellraiser movies this year, and they're spoiler alert, only the first two were worth seeing, the rest are garbage.
I love there was the one line the Doctor said at the end, "You were an exceptional Doctor, Clara." Goodness. Yeah. Had nothing to do with it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you know, because it's like, you know, yeah, you know, again, he was just kind of hammering home the point. It's like, my job ain't easy. And sometimes I got to, like, you know, break some eggs in order to make an omelet or something. you know, again, I'm mixing my metaphors. Where
I know.
She's like, I did so well. He's like, yeah, how many people died?
Yeah. And it's like, well, the doctor, like his actions, they kill people. And we've seen that repeatedly, whether it's like, you know, the doctor saying like, oh no, give this guy space. So when he dies, we can study what happens or whatever. It's like, but yeah, so he's driving that point home that like people die on the doctor's watch. He does his best, but people still die.
Yeah. Now in the episode, there was a bunch of actors. The only one that really like jumped.
What?
What? The only one that actually had something that I noticed was the guy who played Fenton, you know, the dick.
Filch. Filch. Yeah.
His name, the actor's name is Christopher Fairbank. Did he look familiar at all to you? You've seen him. And when I tell you where you've seen him, you may go, oh, that guy.
He did look kind of familiar, but I just should share really quick when he was immune to the
psychic. Don't look him up.
I'm not.
Okay.
When he was immune to the psychic paper, when he goes, it's blank. My first thought was like, oh, he's one of the aliens. He's connected to the 2D people. Like, because he couldn't see what she wanted him to see. But no, he just has no imagination.
Oh, that, he was just like a dick without imagination.
Yeah, seriously. I was like, no, he's not an alien. He's just like the world's most piece of shit human being.
Working for the government like an asshole. He was in an episode of Outlander.
Okay. Just one.
Love the Outlander. Well, it just says one episode.
I don't know now, if I love it. I like it. My wife loves it, and I've seen them all.
And you love your wife, so therefore... In correlation, yeah. Steve loves Outlander.
Sure.
He was in Fifth Element.
Oh, nice.
Okay, but remember like when they remember Leela, when all they were was like a hand that survived after the, like her ship in the beginning when the ship
exploded, the very beginning, yeah.
And they rebuilt it. He was the main scientist who was like, okay. Oh, she's incredible. He was like wearing like foil on his head. Anyway, but
it's been a very long time since I've seen that.
Right. My point is, if you like saw, you kind of go, oh, that guy. But his most famous role for us dorks, Guardians of the Galaxy, he was the broker in the first one. Remember, like, we're like, you know, Peter Quill brings the thing. He was the guy who's like, oh, wait, this Thanos wants this? I want nothing to do with this. He was that guy.
Okay, cool. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so when I saw that, I'm like, oh my God, they made him look. But like, you know, I could, you know, I went and looked at photos of him as like from Fifth Element because I wanted, like, which guy was he? I'm like, that's the guy.
I've been actually meaning to watch Fifth Element again.
Oh, so good.
Because I haven't seen it in a very long time. And it's one of the last Bruce Willis performances where he tries.
Yeah.
And as someone who loved Bruce Willis for a long time, that I wish he tried more, but it's one I want to go back and I'll definitely look for him at the beginning.
Are you looking at the words that are coming out of my mouth? Okay. I know it's not the right movie, but
no, not at all. No. And Chris Tucker was in very little of the Fifth Element, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, but he wasn't enough.
Yeah, I know.
He was in very much enough. All right, Steve, before we come to the penultimate part of the episode, did anybody contact us this week?
Yes.
Ooh.
Actually, 2 days in a row, we got emails from Tim. From
okay, Tim. Our comma correspondent, Tim.
I was waiting for the song.
Well, you know, it's his theme song.
The first one is, the subject is, the rebooted doctor is a urologist.
Ooh.
Just wait for it. Yep. Okay. He's a dick doctor, but he has a history because I've been calling this doctor a dick.
Right.
He's kind of a dick.
Okay.
So Tim says, although not so much in the new series, the classic doctors were often mega dicks. The first doctor kidnapped his two human companions. The third doctor exiled on Earth was cranky to his companion and his unit co-workers. Yeah. The sixth doctor was just a jerk. The seventh was dark and manipulative. The actors in the plots were good, but they weren't nice guys, at least for a good bit of their turns. Peter Capaldi is brilliant at playing it this way, though. Signed, your occasional classic Who consultant, Tim.
Thank you for that, Tim. I agree with you.
I'm sorry, I wasn't as articulate as I could have been, but yeah.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. Not Tom Baker, but Colin Baker, who was the sixth Doctor. They almost canceled Doctor Who because, not because of him, because he was instructed to play the Doctor as kind of a dick, a big dick, and he was supposed to become less dicky as time went on. But you know, they didn't have as many episodes done. And that was the one with the trench coat of many colors, you know.
So
with the,
Joseph,
with the afro, he was the Joseph of Doctors
Who. He was the amazing Technicolor Dream Doctor.
Yeah, basically, like the first time you saw him, he's trying to strangle his companion.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, cool. No, not
especially
so much.
Nice, especially if it's like a young woman.
Correct. Oh God,
no,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So
sorry,
he was Perry. The sixth Doctor. Was Tom Baker the fifth?
No, Tom Baker was fourth.
Fuck.
Peter Davison, All Creatures Big and Small, who was also the father-in-law of the
Tennant?
10th Doctor.
Yeah.
Plus, he's also the actual father of the Doctor's daughter. The Doctor then married.
So confusing. Okay.
I know, George Tennant.
And one of these days I'll get one of these things right.
I don't expect you to. There's just too much.
Okay. Let's lower
too
those
much history going on there.
Lower wait, those expectations.
Yeah. Did you say there's another one, Steve?
There is.
Another missive?
Because of the way we're recording, there's been a gap. So
the gap, Steve.
So, Tim, the subject is Patreon subscriber holiday tip.
Oh, all right. Like, you know, Tim is actually very high up on the list of our Patreon subscribers.
I mean, it's easy to be high up on a fake thing that doesn't exist.
Yeah, but he's very high up on there.
Yeah.
Not the top, though, Steve.
Doesn't exist. Tim. Who's the top?
You know what? I don't think I, you know what? He didn't
you know
sign
what?
The HIPAA.
Let's just say it's Dale Earnhardt Jr.
You know what? I don't want to like
Drunkter Who is big on the NASCAR circuit. So let's say Dale Earnhardt Jr. Why not? Prove me wrong by showing me this list of Patreon subscribers.
I'm not going to tell you because, again, like, you know, due to HIPAA rulings, I cannot, like, you know, give that information out.
Is Drunkter Who medicinal?
Yes. Oh, we help a lot of people, Steve.
They inject
our podcast directly into their veins.
I am trying not to help anyone with this nonsense.
Yeah. So, thank you, Tim. So,
that's not the whole email. That's just the subject.
Okay. Oh, okay. More. So, give me more.
To make the podcast even drunkter-er, try using the half speed on your podcast player. It's even more hilarious without doubling your alcohol level. Half or full speed. Thanks for another year of chuckles, yucks, guffaws, and the occasional ROTFL. Happy holidays and stay safe from Tim.
Oh, thanks, Tim.
We really appreciate that. And we hope everybody, by the time you're listening to this, New Year has blown past us by at least a day or two.
Yeah.
And we really hope everybody has had a healthy and safe, whatever you're celebrating.
Especially our Patreon listeners.
There's not
you know,
such, there
you deserve thing. More health than the regular non-subscribers.
Or the regular nonsense. No, there's
so
John,
the regular
there's no
people who aren't
thing.
The people who aren't like paying us for this.
Hey, John, if there's people paying for the Patreon, where's my cut?
Steve, you know,
am I going to find it in my stocking? Is that it?
No. You get the back end after like the podcast makes a profit.
Oh,
so you
so
know,
never.
So like no, I'm using Hollywood math.
This is some Lord of the Rings math where technically it's still not made a profit. Okay,
yeah, you're not Tom Cruise. You don't get off the top, dude.
No, okay, but
Lord of the Rings. What's his name?
I get net, not gross, is what you're saying.
Yeah, no, you get back end.
Okay, fine, whatever.
Yeah, you don't get like don't get off the top, Steve. You're not like Steven Spielberg.
Well, thank you very, very much, Tim, for writing in. And we hope you had as good a year as 2020 could have been. And here's to a brighter, more vaccinated 2021.
Yeah, and here's to like having some more adults running the world.
Yes,
let's hope that actually happens, and hopefully you're okay with that.
Yeah, and maybe maybe one day you and I will record this in the same room again.
You and Tim?
You and you, John, and I.
So me and me.
Steve.
Oh, Steve, yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know. This is so easy, though.
I know. It really is. It really
that's
is.
Like one of the, that's one of the things, like, oh, shit. You know, it's like, hey, you know what? I don't have to go to work and wear like a tie and dress shoes. I can go to work wearing a casual shirt and gym shoes. Yeah. And I'm okay with that. I hope that never has to, like, go back. I'm like, thanks, COVID?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, kind of.
Where we can record this on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much, Tim, and all the people who are listening. We appreciate
and all the people
you.
Who are listening. And seriously, I'm not gonna like make a bit out of it, but like thank you. This has been great. Thanks for listening to us. And if you like know any people who want to, you know, even just...
who want some nonsensical Doctor Who content while the show's not on, please recommend us because we would appreciate it.
In our delightful Midwestern American nasal accents.
Hey, we're from Chicago. We're from a big city, the third largest city in the U.S. We're just like, you know.
That's why they call us the second Midwest. City. Because we're the third largest.
Well, we were the second largest up until like 1980, I think.
Yeah.
When
Los Angeles
passed us.
I still think it's like, and I still like listening to like Doctor Who podcasts where like people are actually speaking like British. But, you know.
Ooh.
I know. Delightful and exotic.
The Queen's English.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go back to Steve. The penultimate part where we talk about the unsung crew member of the episode. That's the penultimate.
I think you've said penultimate more than once.
Yeah, I know. I said was before we come to the penultimate.
Oh, okay.
Now we're at the penultimate part.
Yes.
Which means the part before the ultimate.
Yes.
Hence, pent.
The part where I can go eat dinner.
Okay, our unsung crew member of the episode, Steve. Her name is Amy Felce. I think that's how you would pronounce it. It's F-E-L-C-E. I'm going to say Felce as opposed to Fels.
I'd say Felce. Who knows? Yeah. I mean, it would just take a quick Google search on Wikipedia to tell us how to pronounce it. But whatever. Let's just roll with it.
She works in visual effects.
Oh. Okay.
But specifically for this episode, she is the match move artist. So, like, think, like, for visual effects, move, like, those, like, twitchy, like, the boneless, when they became 3D.
No, so my guess is they had people actually walking around in that, like, stilted, like, almost like the Walking Dead zombie walk, and then that she matched the animation to that.
I think so. You know, I don't know. I don't proclaim to, like, know that much about visual effects or anything.
That's my guess, is that people had like ping pong balls duct taped to their faces and that she matched the animation to them moving.
There were some clear effects going on in this episode. Like there's like a regular episode, you're like, oh, well, they make them seamless. Whereas like this was pretty much in your face.
Yeah.
You know, when like the 2D people are walking in the walls and stuff, or like when it's like the weird little floor slugs were coming at people and stuff,
or like the 2D effects where it's like a doorknob going 3D to 2D to back to 3D or
yes,
something like that. Yeah.
Now her work outside of Doctor Who, she worked on Moon
with Sam Rockwell.
Yes, and David Bowie's son, the director.
Yes, I really like that movie.
Yeah, no, that was good.
Is that Duncan Jones?
Duncan Jones, yes, because David Jones is David Bowie's real name.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so he kept his father's for reals names.
Yeah.
I wonder what's on David Bowie's tombstone? Will it be sausage and pepperoni?
I was going to say cheese and pepperoni, you son of a bitch.
Damn it. Yeah, sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off there. She also worked on Half-Blood Prince and Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Deathly Howard. She worked on Deathly Howard.
Yeah, she worked on Deathly Howard.
Which is now a low-key like suburban horror movie. I want to see Deathly Howard Part 2.
I'm Deathly Howard. She also worked on...
You know what? That would start Clint Howard.
Yeah. Or what about Howard Jones, the musician?
Oh, no. I don't know. Howard Johnson, the former all-star third baseman.
or Howard Johnson, the former overpass ice cream stores.
Sure.
On the, on the highways.
Aren't they just a restaurant? I don't know.
Yeah, they were a restaurant, but then they were like, you know, it's like, oh, you go past the toll booth. Yeah. She also worked on the James Bond movie Skyfall.
I did not see that one yet.
That was the one that had Javier Bardem. And he played it like, you know, he would look like Javier Bardem, but he'd take out these like he had some sort of like debilitating disease or like radioactive where like his face was all kind of sunken. And he the character would take out these dentures and his face would just like kind of like just shrink. So I imagine, again, visual effects, you know, that if it's something along the lines of this, you know, where his face would just kind of like, you know, just go, ooh, weird.
Yeah, like the teeth are the load-bearing bone of the face.
You know, a little bit.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, God, I love it so much.
So good. Thank you, Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord Xenu.
Emily Blunt, Live, Die, Repeat. Bill Paxton is in it, too. It's so good.
So fucking good. So good. I didn't want to love it so much because of Tom Cruise in it.
I know.
I loved it so fucking much. I want to see a sequel.
Go see Live, Die, Repeat. Or, I mean, sorry, Edge of Tomorrow if you haven't. It's so worth it.
Ex Machina.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, Amy worked on Ex Machina. So now some...
These are all like CGI movies that involve like CGI over someone's like...
Oh yeah, some like body, you know, like excellent like, effects, you know. Yeah, so
she's done some really good work. Like I haven't seen that Bond movie yet, but yeah.
So now also like I'm gonna kind of seg into like the TV stuff. However, she also worked on The Old Guard. That was that Charlize Theron movie that was released earlier in the year. It was on Netflix.
I keep forgetting to watch it.
It was, you know what? It's, you know, I really enjoyed it. Some people have a little haterade for it, but I'm like, I didn't have haterade for it.
I assume I'll like it. And
assume you'll like it.
I'm planning on watching it soon.
I enjoyed it quite much. I think I was almost like live tweeting you.
Yeah, you were basically...
live texting. I'm like, oh my God, this is so fucking good. Yeah. I need some more wine.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like you.
Yeah, it sounds like me. But like, yeah, so that was on Netflix. I don't know. I don't think that was released specifically on Netflix due to COVID.
No, it was.
I think the plan was it was a Netflix exclusive anyway.
Well, I mean, in a lot of the Netflix movies, they will give a token theatrical release to qualify for awards. But yeah, they're basically streaming straight to Netflix.
Now, Amy Felchy's television work, she worked on Victoria, which is the Jenna Coleman show where she plays Queen Victoria.
Okay.
So I don't know if she made her look more like Queen Victoria. Maybe she had to give her some scurvy or something. I don't know. She
made everything look dirty.
Oh, everything dirty and stanky. She worked on Class, which was that Doctor Who spinoff.
Kids show spinoff, yeah.
Yeah, more like that would have been more like the Sarah Jane.
Like a preteen.
Yeah, well, like a like more of a like a, an older teen, you know.
Okay.
I think they had like sexy times and stuff.
So it's Doctor Who 902.
Not quite Torchwood. quite Torchwood level of, you know, dirtiness.
No, it's 90210.
She also worked on Good Omens.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm not going to name how many episodes she worked on of Doctor Who, but basically she's worked on almost every episode that involved Peter Capaldi.
Okay.
So I don't want to name how many episodes she worked on because her entire oeuvre is with Peter Capaldi.
Okay.
And because she didn't even work on every single Peter Capaldi episode.
Because Jodie Whittaker brought in her own VFX team.
I don't know that necessarily. No, but like also too.
No, there's there's a new showrunner. I know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Cool. So.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So, Amy Felchy, our unsung crew member of the episode, we salute you. Clink, clink. I thought you were gonna like, you know, drain that shot glass again.
I've finished my shot, my beer, and my water. So.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I'm out of liquids within reach.
I've seen you drain your shot glass at least three times.
It's just like I'm a fidgety guy. I just
fidgety, Steve.
Yes.
So now we're going to this is the ultimate part of the episode. Steve, the next episode we're going to watch of Doctor Who is called In the Forest of the Night.
In the Forest Steve, of the Night?
Not knowing, yeah, and it's not a Billy Joel song.
No, I was thinking
in the Forest of the Night. I go walking in my sleep.
I was thinking of a horror movie from I think a couple years ago called It Comes at Night, it's not really a horror movie, but it's a good movie. It's like a steady, slow movie.
Oh yeah, it's like and it turns out spoilers, nothing really came.
No, things came, you just didn't see them.
Yeah, no, I heard like it was one of those things where it's like, you know, people are like, oh, one of the scariest movies ever. But then it's like, you know, the scariest is like kind of like one of those things that's subjective.
No,
like,
see,
I really liked like, you know, Blair Witch Project. But then people are like, oh, Blair Witch Project is the worst piece of shit ever.
No, like I really liked The Witch, but it's spelled the Vivitch. That's on Netflix. That's really good. But it's a slow burn of a movie.
You know, now I've given you enough time to like, you know, use your brain and like think about things. What is In the Forest of the Night about? And don't say again, not a Billy Joel song.
No. What I'm going to say is that they go to a planet and it's an uncharted planet. The Doctor and Clara, there's some tension there because the Doctor knows that she's lying to, as the Doctor calls him condescendingly P.E., which is still not okay. They're going to a new planet. This is an uncharted planet. The Doctor is like, he's looking at like some screens and shit. And he goes, all of a sudden is like, what? This never showed up before. And then it, what they do is they go to this planet and it turns out like, in the Forest of the Night?
In the Forest of the Night.
Oh, stop with your Billy Joel love. so they go down
there. I love me my Jersey Boys.
So they go and they land down on this planet and they're in a forest and it is night and they follow this person. And what they realize it's a girl in a red hood and a red cloak, and it's a Little Red Riding Hood. And this is a planet where fairy tales are real. And it is basically, it turns out that this is a planet that Missy created and to lure the Doctor there by planting a new planet in the TARDIS's sensors and to like test the Doctor's capabilities. But this is going to explain more about the weird Missy phenomenon. And she keeps trying to lure and tempt Clara away from the Doctor, but it doesn't work. And Clara rebuffs her. And then they go and basically at the end of it, Missy like goes, shakes her fist at the sky going, I will defeat you or I will get you or whatever. And then the planet disappears and she just ends up back in her weird office building.
Well, could it also have back the series one, the tree lady? Remember the tree people, the one who helped the Doctor and she like burst into flames?
Yeah, that was not.
Maybe they're going to go to her planet?
Why?
I don't know. I mean, in the Forest of the Night. She is like a forest lady.
So
she is literally a forest.
Did you actually pay attention to what I said, or were you just waiting to say that?
A little both. I paid attention to what you said.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I don't. I okay. So what Steve said is going to happen.
Well, I mean,
on this planet that, you know, we have never been to before.
No, a planet that didn't exist before, and that's why it intrigues the Doctor, because it's fictional, and Missy planted the idea of this planet in the TARDIS's databanks or whatever, the brain of the TARDIS, the heart of the TARDIS, and it turns out it's a lot of fairy tales, like they run into like the Three Little Pigs story.
Is this a Terry Pratchett book or something? Or
Terry Pratchett. I mean, it could have been, but no, like the Doctor and Clara run into one house and they realize, oh shit, there's a big bad wolf out there. And so they run into another house and then another house. And then, you know, they're basically involved in fairy tales.
And then what is Hackety Sax involved, Steve?
Yackety Sax. You're thinking of Hacky Sax, which is on a college quad somewhere right now.
So let's see if all that happens.
It
so
won't.
You never know. Who knows?
But I'll think of something else next time, or at least pretend to.
Pretend to. So in the meantime, thanks for listening to the Drunk to Who. We will see you around the next time.
Thank you so much again. Hope you had a nice Boxing Day with the family. I know we have some British listeners, but you know.
Yep.
So whatever the fuck you celebrate over there in that weird area.
Happy New Year's. Thanks again. I've been John.
I've been Steve, and I probably will be next time too.
Probably. And until next time, when we establish again who we are.
Yeah.
This has been the show. So bye-bye.
Bye. You know, it's like a college football star who's on steroids, who's looking for clean urine. It's like, I want COVID spit. Like, give me COVID spit so I don't have to go into work.